Now, did anybody notice something special in the reading from Acts? Something new started there. Well, the first trip to Europe, the first that he went to preach in Europe. What it says here, when he had seen the vision, we sought passage to Macedonia. So who's the we? Somebody been traveling with him all along, right? Must be Luke. That's the first that starts some we passages, and nobody can figure out why they would start right here. So far, we've been trying for 2,000 years, but anyway, if you look at the text, that's the least. That was just something to call your attention. So notice, first, you see, Timothy is the son of a Jewish mother. So he's Jewish. So he should be circumcised. So he was. Now why, if you're the son of a Jewish mother, just by that fact alone, you belong to a nation, a race, especially loved by God. There's a great Jewish theologian, wonderful man, Vishgorod. When he died, he left his whole library to Seton Hall, where there's a Jewish-Christian dialogue center. He's a great man, Vishgorod. He said, don't you understand? I mean, God has that much respect for flesh that if you're born of a Jewish mother, you're a Jew. Bingo. That's why he was circumcised. Now, why would they do that? Well, this is Mediterranean wisdom. They all do this in the Mediterranean. But, you know, you can say that Joe is your father. And he probably is, you know. But you can't tell me Jane is your mother because we saw you come out of the womb of Helen. That's why. So, you know, the father is probably the right father, but the mother, you can never make a mistake. And that's why if you're the child of a Jewish mother, you're a Jew. It's very simple. Now, we're toward the end of chapter 15 in John, and we begin this mysterious hatred of the world. Now, this is getting quite real, isn't it? I mean, why the HHS mandate? Why this? Why that? You know, what's going on? Well, these, you know, the people doing this, they're all, most of them, at least communist-leaning, and some quite more than that. And they have got to get rid of the church. Why? Because in their mind, you see, man is the top of the whole of creation. Of course, there's no creation. And anything that would interfere with our running this world the way we want it has got to go. The problem is with the word we. Who's behind all this? Satan. He hates believers. And the world is controlled by him. Make no mistake about it. You know? All that is in the world is the concupiscence of the eyes of the flesh and the pride of life. Or the word world in John. What is the world? The world is this whole complex of industrial, economic, military, emotional, artistic factors that are in total rejection of God. Clever sometimes. My old doctor father used to say the world is basically that dominion of rejection and refusal. In other words, I will not serve. And as we sit here, hoping for the best, we are at the end of an 800 or 900 year plan of Satan to cut Europe off from acknowledging God. It started innocently, well, innocently, but in, that's not the word I want, indistinguishably. When all of a sudden, there's a great book on this if you're ever interested, man started looking at this universe not as a gift, and as a gift that gives itself to us. That's why we know it. See, our knowledge is that being gives itself to us. No, we determine being. First it was in the field of knowledge, then it went over to the field of politics with Machiavelli, and pretty soon Europe has been in rejection of God. And it came to a head with dear old Marx. And now it's all over the place. So much so that as John Paul II accused them of, Europe, you know, the most powerful force for civilization the world has ever known, its roots are Christian. So when the European Union started, they never even mentioned Christianity. Never even mentioned. So John Paul II called them up, called them to task. He said, how can you talk about Europe without talking about Christianity? Christianity formed Europe. All the great intellectual and scientific and come from that exuberance, that power of spirit that is energized by God the Father, by looking at God the Father, by faith. It took a long time to wean Europe from that. Now, Germany, about 30% are baptized. You know, this is open rebellion. And the means of it, the theory, is Marx's. And all the, and Lenin, as we want to put it into practice, but all kinds of folk. Over in this country, Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Luther. And we all sat and said, oh, that's really too bad. Now it's catching up to us. Not that everybody has to have an intellectual capacity to take on, you know, Kant and Hegel and Feuerbach, etc. Notice all the German names. No. But we have to have the grace of Christ to be living in a way that proves the lie. And we haven't done a very good job. So where's the fault? Well, certainly it's in, you know, it starts back there with dear old William of Ockham. But it's us, folks. We're not living a Christian life. It's us. It's the dear church. Now, this Pope sees that. So what has he done? He has said the turning factor is the Word of God. That is the turning factor. With that, you have light. When you have light, you can philosophize. Look at the geniuses who formed the early councils, came up with the distinction between person and nature, things like that. You know, came up with a word to describe how Jesus and the Father relate, homoousion. They are the same, I don't know how they're translating it nowadays, substance? No, it's in the Creed. Consubstantial. Okay, I mean, except nobody knows what consubstantial means. It would have been better to leave same substance, even though we could make mistakes about that, you know. This tomato soup is the same as that tomato soup. It's not the same kind of substance, you know. But look at the genius, philosophical genius, the light shown on this natural world through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we had, everybody heard about Augustine and Chrysostom, but what about Maximus the Confessor? The one who established that there is a human will in Jesus. We are saved by the human decision of a divine person. That phrase has cut through so much confusion. It's Maximus's phrase. And now? And so you see, finally, there's persecution. No acknowledgement of God, and now the big obstacle, to get rid of the one obstacle left to what? Chaos. They call it, you know, socialism, but it's chaos. All the great planners of this have only planned the overthrow, the destruction. There's no plan for what to do after that. And it's all based on possession. Is that, God knows we need them. Is that all we have? Is that the dignity of man that he possesses? Or is it the dignity of man that he loves and knows? That's what's going on. So what's the ultimate response? Love. And love that goes as far as martyrdom. That's what changed the world the first time. Does that mean we're all going to get shot? I don't know. Maybe not. But let's get real, folks. This promise of Jesus. See? Why does the world hate us? Why this HHS Band-Aid? To break the back on the Catholic Church. Now, all the people who are kind of semi-Christian and nice people and all the rest, they're fine. But if you're really smart, you see that the obstacle to a satanic takeover is the Catholic Church. So, destroy it. This isn't the first time. I'm not pinning all this on General Obama. I mean, he's not bright enough. But this has been going on now for a long time. The destruction of the monasteries, and now, you know, to form a union of European nations, and you can see it's already falling apart, and not even mention the Christian faith and Jesus Christ. You might want to at least say, culturally, we owe all these things. And we have people who are doing that. I'm going to quit pretty soon. But I want to try to alert you that this is not just a gospel for 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. You know, there are a couple of people, Habermas, who was one of the great figures of the school, the Frankfurt School, and Marcello Pera. Now, they see Christianity is the only bulwark against what's happening in Europe. They're both good friends of the Pope, and neither are Christian. One is Jewish origin, the other is Pera. He used to be the head of the Italian Senate. He has a book called Why We Should Call Ourselves Christians. What he's saying is the Christian outlook on life, that there is a God and all human rights derived from God. If you don't believe that, there's nothing but chaos, as the whole history of the world has shown. It's a great book, by the way. You ought to read it. Why We Should Call Ourselves Free. You can get it from Amazon for about $15. It's a, you know, it's bracing. Now, then I'm going to quit, I promise you. But the Pope, when Ratzinger wrote an article, and Pera wrote an article, this is years ago, when Ratzinger was head of the CDF, and they said, we agree a lot. Why don't we put these two articles out in a book together with some other material? So they did. When Pera wrote this next book, Why We Should Call Ourselves Christians, the Pope wrote the preface. I don't think a Pope ever wrote a preface before in the history of the Church, you know. He wrote a preface to Pera's book because it's that enlightening. I prayed, I thought, I know this is probably a long sermon, but just don't say, yeah, that's right, you know, the world hates you, realize it hated me first. That's right. Why? Because in Jesus Christ is the total entrance of unalloyed light, the very face of the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. And that's why he's hated. By whom? By Satan. And by anybody who doesn't want to give their life to God.